can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today I am joined by...
Ariane.
Stacy.
Thank you for joining me. We are talking about two movies that are in theaters right now. We will be talking about Assassination Nation and A Simple Favor. I think I just want to start talking about Assassination Nation. So this movie is about a high school senior named Lily, and she has three best friends, and they live in a high school world full of social media and texts and posts and all the things that make up millennials' lives these days. But unfortunately, their little town gets turned upside down when a hacker breaks in and exposes some secrets out of people's private social media lives and their cell phones, too, not just social media. It breaks pictures in, finds some bad pictures.
Yeah.
So, before I get into some of my thoughts, what did you guys think?
I just thought that was scary because, you know, you never know what you take pictures of. And me being a mom, I have pictures of my kids in my phone. Mm-hmm. And then personal information. I'm a long-term relationship, so I send, like, pictures of myself. Like, risque, but it's just all, like, you know, in cute outfits or whatever. So, it's just all, like... I don't want anybody else to see those.
Right.
Right. Like, even if you're not doing something wrong.
Right.
Just,
exactly.
Like, that's my private life.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And I feel like that came up in this movie where when the hacker first broke into someone's phone and revealed photos, people were like, oh, like, that serves him right. Or, like, if you have nothing that's secret on your phone, you shouldn't be afraid of anything.
Right. Nothing to hide.
Right. And I felt like I don't want anyone, like, I mean... I know that probably Facebook and everyone has my information, but I don't want all of my, like, photos and personal texts and everything, like, put out there. Not because I have anything particular to hide, but, like, that's just private information.
Exactly.
You know, well, and that also, is weird to think about.
Well, and also, it starts with the mayor, who does kind of have something to hide, being the mayor and then what you find on his phone. But then it goes to the principal, and, you know, Ariane, you talked about you have pictures of your kids, and that's one of the things that comes up is he has pictures of his kids, like, in the bathtub. And people take that just completely the wrong way.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, you have a picture of your daughter when she was, like, six in the bathtub. And I'm like, my mother has pictures of me when I was, like, six in the bathtub. But because it's like, oh, a grown man with a picture of a young girl. It's like, yeah, but that's his daughter.
Right.
But they all took it in this, like, I was like, yeah, I can see why people would jump to that. But that you also don't see how that's a jump. Like, that's a jump, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I also... I feel like in the movie, too, the main character, Lily, is like, you have a picture of me naked, like, on the mantle. Like, is that bad, you know?
Right.
And the town just, like, loses it over this. And as you find out in the movie, more things get exposed. And people just get irate about who the hacker is, which kind of turns into a witch hunt. Which I also thought was interesting because the town's name is Salem.
See,
and I was like, oh, the witch hunt. Oh, yeah. I see what you did there.
Like, this movie, for me, felt like... a teenager who really, really, really hates slut-shaming, who was currently studying the Salem Witch Trials and had just seen The Purge.
Yeah.
And you put all that together and you got this movie. And I was like, you're making some interesting points in a very interesting way that I'm not sure is quite going along with the message you want to make.
Yeah. Right. This movie was like, to me, it was like The Purge plus like Gossip Girl.
Like,
Like, and I, something also... about it kind of reminded me of, like, the movie, like, American Beauty a little bit. There's, like, a cheerleader scene in there that made me think of that. I thought it was interesting because it felt so trendy. Like, it felt so, like, ooh, millennials. Like, even in the beginning of the movie, they say, like, this movie has trigger warnings. And I thought that was kind of funny because they say that and then they flash things of, like, trigger warnings, like, murder or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just in, like, the first, like, minute. And I just... I don't know. I felt like this movie was like a teenager trying to like impress me or something, or like it was so like trying to be cool, like,
yeah,
like all like the social media, everything. And it was almost like, I feel like when I was thinking about this movie, I just kept making parallels to it. But it was like, if like American Apparel magazine like made a movie, like, yeah, like it was just like that. Booty shorts and like weird like lens flare lighting. And I felt like the director and cinematographer were trying really hard. Like, mm-hmm. there was this one scene when the camera turned and, like, the American flag turned upside down. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I see what you're trying to do there. It's, like, a little heavy-handed, and it's really obvious.
Yeah.
And it's not at all subtle. And I don't know, like, if you need to, because I don't think your movie's that serious. So, like, you're, like, going for a heavier tone here than what is necessary. And I don't know. I'm surprised this movie like didn't ask me to vape or something. Like, it was just so like cool, and I was like, I think this is like too cool for me.
Yeah. Well, I think the trigger warnings are interesting, because I actually, when I went to see this, the ticket person who was selling me the ticket asked to see my ID, because this is rated R. Mm-hmm. And then as I was going into the theater, I was waiting for the film to start, and this group of like teenage girls and it's like three adult women came in. Mm. And the girls all sat literally the row behind me, and the three adult women sat like two rows in front of me. And I was like, okay, fine, I get why you don't want to sit with the teenagers, but why the heck do the teenagers have to sit right behind me? But then,
put them in the front.
Right, go the heck away. I was like, please don't be like typical teenagers this whole movie. I may have to stand up and say something, which is not what I normally do, or move seats. But then you get the trigger warnings, and that clearly didn't say anything to the parents. But then you get to the first scene with the girls together, and they're talking about performing a sex act, an oral sex act.
Oh, wow.
And one of the moms stood up and was like, nope, let's go. And I was like, what film did you think you were coming into?
Right.
And how did you get all these girls who are clearly not above our age? And did you, like, buy a ticket for one film and then come into this other one?
Oh, gosh.
What did you think you were seeing?
That's funny.
And I was like, I knew what. And they did the trigger warnings. Were you not paying attention when that happened? I was like,
they did not listen to the warnings.
It's the ratings anyway. It's like, really?
Yeah.
For your kids.
So, yeah, the trigger warnings are real. There's some of them where I'm like, I don't know that you needed to throw that in, because that only comes up for, like, a second, whereas others you definitely focus on. But those are all in there. So don't pretend like, you know, don't go in there thinking, oh, it's just whatever. No, those are all in there. If any of those trigger warnings bug you, leave.
Definitely. It also just felt like if Quentin Tarantino was a woman, maybe he would have made this film.
If Quentin Tarantino was like, trying to be a woman, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Not if he actually was, you're right. And there was just like blood and like, that definitely reminded me of Quentin Tarantino. Also, I thought what was interesting is one of the characters, Bex, is a trans woman, and I felt like this movie was very trans positive.
Yeah.
Okay. And I felt like that was really interesting. Again, part of me almost was like, are you doing this to be trendy, or do you just sincerely mean this like in a proactive way with your casting? But I thought that was cool. I didn't know that going into the movie.
I didn't either,
And I was like surprised. I was like, oh wow, this is like pretty progressive. So I thought that was cool.
I felt like it was just a little too trying to be progressive, like you, especially with the slut shaming thing.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the film's like main issue it has a problem with is no slut shaming is allowed whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so you get like every possible example of slut shaming you could get in this. And it's like the four main girls are very like, oh, you shouldn't slut shame anyone, so we're going to wear the most provocative outfits, period. Yeah. Because you shouldn't. And I'm like, look, I get that.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, what high school are you going to that you're allowed to wear
exactly
things? And she does. The main character at one point has a conversation with the principal about a very explicit drawing she did. But I'm just like looking at the outfit she's sitting there, and I'm like, you have a guard at the school, but you don't. How do you? What high school do you go to? Because that's not, like, I had problems with my school dress code, specifically about what girls weren't allowed to wear because it would distract boys, so I get it. But I'm like, I feel you're just, like, you're rebelling against it just to rebel against it at some point.
Mm-hmm. There were just some moments that I was like, really? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why do we have to have this excessive stuff? Or, like, there was a moment where, like, suddenly I'm like, so now you know how to, like, fight and defend yourself?
Yeah.
Too? I was like, you just suddenly learned that?
Where did you learn that?
Like, there's never a scene earlier that explains that. But I did feel like there were some things about it that I thought were interesting, like, cinematography, I felt like at some points was heavy-handed, but there's this one moment where, like, it reminded me of Kill Bill, where, like, the camera's moving through the house.
Oh, that was great.
I thought that was really cool.
That scene was fantastic.
I really enjoyed that. And there also was this moment where the character, Bexy, was like, oh, I love this song. And they're all like, what? And suddenly the song comes on in the movie. And I thought that was really funny, and I enjoyed that. And there were moments like that that I thought were nice.
Yeah.
And surprisingly,
even though, like, every description I saw for this was, like, something meets The Purge, mm-hmm. and I think somewhere, I'm not sure if it's the director or the producer or something, some people involved with The Purge are also involved with this film.
Oh.
Even for all that, the Purge part doesn't really come up to, like, the end.
Right.
Like, you get so much before you actually get to the purging thing, whereas from the trailers and from the, you get this narration at the beginning, which makes it seem like we're going to hop into some strange alternate universe that has a purge-like thing.
Yeah.
You don't get there for so long, and then you're right, Heidi, like you said, like, oh, suddenly you all totally know how to kill people. You were helpless
right.
a moment ago.
You all
ago.
Have matching jackets and know how to use guns, like, right. suddenly.
Oh, it's like, you were literally helpless 5 seconds ago, and now right. you are, like, a super badass
That's what
killer.
I thought,
I'm just like, wait, how did, what?
Do you think it was just more of, like, a whole contradictory movie, like, oh, don't slut shame, but then you're going to go do this, or do you think it would, I feel like it was more informational, like, if you're going to do something, then, you know, you can't really be mad that somebody else found it. Because if you're going to share it anyway, you know what I mean? Or, you know, go on Snapchat. They hide that stuff, too. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I get it's making, like, especially the argument, you know, they had about, you know, oh, is this child pornography or whatever? You've got the picture of your kid. Like, she's very clearly about, you guys are getting upset just to be upset over nothing, about slut-shaming, about these pictures.
Right.
But then it just felt like, I get you want to make this really great message, just the whole way you're going about it is...
Yeah. I feel like they also tried, like, feminism and, like, female power, empowerment, and they were just, like, I felt like I was bombarded with things that were, like, these are all good. And I was like, but the way you're telling me that is kind of weird.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't seem to really support what you're talking about. And there was just, like... Yeah, I feel like I also learned other things, like ways to kill people that I would not have thought about.
Oh, wow.
And also, Joel McHale was in this movie, and I really don't understand half of his acting choices, like the roles that he takes. I just don't understand.
Yeah, I had a hard time watching him and not thinking of, like, that rent car rental commercial, not my TV family.
Just like, right, or, like, not thinking about, like, his comedy show. Like, I was weirded out by some of his... choices in this movie.
But I think his character especially is very interesting because of the turn it takes that you don't quite see coming, because I was a little shocked when we get the reveal later about his character and what he's done. But that
I
felt
was not shocked.
Well, I was shocked to find out, and that felt very much like it went along with the town just suddenly very much freaking out and immediately jumping to, we need to kill people.
Yeah,
because our way of life is sort of being challenged and we're scared about it. So we're going to, and again, that's especially where the Salem witch trials part came in of, oh, what? Someone says it's that person without any proof whatsoever. Let's go kill that person.
Yeah. Or there's a scene when they're all on the street being like, we're good people. We're going to kill these like sluts and we're good people. And I'm like, that is...
Not
like, I get what you're kind of going for,
right?
You know, but like, it's not believable at all. Like, I know your message of that, of like people who think they're good, like turning things on their head, but like, I don't believe that in this movie.
See, I actually did, because it felt again like the Salem witch trials and how quickly people could get to dangerous hysteria,
just escalating over,
and you see
so quickly.
Yeah, and especially you see this with the girls, if they don't think, you know, it's going to go to this level, it's like, oh, whatever, it's fine, and everyone has something to hide, and this isn't a big deal, and you know. These are, again, the girls wearing very short and revealing outfits. So they're like, you know, I can dress however sexy, provocatively I want. What's this whole thing about slut shaming and you whore? Mm-hmm. And then to see like, oh, well, actually, you know, the general public is kind of still against that. And then is very willing to become violent for that.
Yeah.
They're as shocked as quickly as it takes place as I am. But I think that was the one statement that the film was making that I was actually like, yeah, okay, because you do have that in our history, and it made me think, because you also have the Crucible, which is the play set during the Salem witch trials, which was really actually about McCarthyism. It's like, so we actually had this jump to hysteria with the witch trials, and then we had this jump to hysteria with McCarthyism, so it's not that we can't do it, but you jumped to not just hysteria, but like the Purge, and that part threw me off. I was just
Well, I feel like that's how it is anyway with any kind of situation. It's like, oh, either it's good or you're going to jump, like Stacey said, jump to hysteria with the worst possible, you know, reaction. Instead of, I don't feel like anybody really just like, okay, well, why did you do that? Or why, how can we make this better? Or, you know, right. figure out what the real, instead of just be like, oh, nope, this is what happened. Everybody's dead.
Well, I would just hope that our jump to hysteria would not be jump to sanctioned murder. Like that, I'm just hoping that's not the immediate jump we take. That's a little disturbing.
No, that's true.
It is.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and keep talking about movies.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are going to continue talking about Assassination Nation and the assassination part of this movie.
I mean, so I guess it's assassination in that there's trying to specifically kill the girls, mm-hmm. and that's what the whole town is out for, specifically Lily. So I guess they are... I don't know that that's even assassination so much as like... Well, they do actually try and lynch somebody at some point.
Yeah, they do.
So, with mob violence or something. But yeah. It rhymes, so whatever, have at it. It's not even clever. A nation either. It's the whole city of Salem, wherever this is, and just assuming it's Massachusetts. But it's like, it's this one small part, I hope, that has lost its minds.
Yeah, there was a... When it took that turn, I can't say I was surprised, because I feel like, particularly in the trailers, there's like this sense of like impending violence, you know, as we've mentioned, so I wasn't surprised, but I guess I just was like, I did not expect this much like masked violence of like mob, like everyone is in on it, and if you're not in on it, you're like terrified and hiding, and you're not willing to help, and like just no one was willing to help. And it definitely gave me a chill, just like a reminder of like current like mob violence. And
exactly.
Like that was very sad to think about while watching this film.
I mean, I guess from the title and the trailer, I kind of guessed that this was going to be a bit like Battle Royale, where everyone's out to kill everyone. And that's not the case. It's very specific people being, it's the mob essentially being out to kill very specific people. Without necessarily knowing why they're out to kill with it, but just, you know, getting swept up in the mob fever sort of thing. But then when it gets there, I felt that that part, especially the way we transition from the no violence whatsoever we've been having to the all the violence all the time we get, that especially felt like the Tarantino part to me. Especially because the reason I think that the girls are wearing the red jackets, which you do see in the poster, it's all the images for it, is they had been watching that
Japanese film
about the revenge for whatever girl film that the girls were out for revenge against the guy for something. And I guess if you were doing that, you'd be like, let's have a girls' night. Let's all dress up like because all the people in that film also had red jackets. But I was like,
yeah,
that feels a little out of nowhere. But you just wanted this really cool image of four girls shooting guns in red jackets.
I mean, it's very dedication to the sleepover, I would say. I don't know if I would do that, but sure. Yeah.
Well, they did like the pink ladies thing, like Grease, like everybody just the same. But we're all gonna go do the killing, or
we're gonna
revenge
killing
exactly.
I was I was like yeah, okay, filmmaker, I get where we're going there, because this film is called Assassination Nation and we haven't yet actually really seen that much violence, so I assume that's where we're getting there now that we're all in the, you know, jackets from the posters. But it was a little on the nose to do like, oh, from this revenge movie where the girls, you know, get revenge for the guy who did whatever to them, to now we're getting to the part where the girls in this film are getting revenge. I was like,
that was
quite
direct.
Subtle.
Yeah, I would say this movie's not subtle, really,
and
at
then,
all.
They really glorified in the blood. Yes. With when you actually get to the violent part, like especially in the house, I was just like,
yeah. See, and I can't do that. I can't do the blood, guts, and
it was so much that I was like, I don't even believe this is blood. Like,
it's unnecessary, though. It's unnecessary. It's like, okay, you know, if somebody's gonna die, you don't have to show like their brains getting blown out or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, it's implied. You don't have to show all of that, especially with all the TV shows and movies that show that already, like, you know, Walking Dead and all that. It's like, okay, we have enough.
I feel like it has something to do with the girls, because when you get to the girls killing people, I don't feel that you see it as much. But when you get to the start of the people trying to kill the girls, it, like, especially with Lily, and you get the part with Lily in the bathroom all the blood, and I'm like, look, I get she's wearing a very, you know, skimpy outfit so you can see her thighs, and then we have to clean the blood off her thighs, and that, of course, leads to a possible sexual situation. But I'm just like, I feel you're just almost, I don't know, exploiting the girls all being in these really short outfits or something with them all then being covered in the blood in that short outfit. It was just like, what?
Yeah, this definitely felt like a movie about exploitation in a way, like, girls like feeling like they're dressing skimpy and like they're fine with that, and like I think like in the beginning of the movie I'm like, okay, like I can get on board this, that's just like your fashion sense, but then like everyone in the town is like, oh, you're already a slut, like I can do whatever I want to you, I can kill you, it doesn't matter, I can put you in this like sexual encounter and it doesn't matter because you're just a slut,
right?
And I feel like that definitely relates to the slut shaming that they're going on, and I like, I guess as a moviegoer, I like got that message. I just don't know how much I'm like buying it with like all their excessive amount of blood and everything. I'm like, was this really the vehicle that you wanted?
Well, and also, you get Lily has two different voiceovers where she's talking a bit about like sort of the hypocrisy that she and her friends and girls are faced with. Of, you know, be quiet, but be interesting and sit with your legs closed, but then open your legs for sex, essentially. Yeah. It's like, so you have her actually literally saying this twice, and then you have all this sort of over-the-top imagery as well. I was like, I get it. You're, like, almost literally hitting me over the head with this.
Yes.
Your delivery could use some work.
Yeah, for sure. There was, there was just no subtlety.
Yeah.
I guess I feel like we've... yeah, it was clear. So, I would say if you're into The Purge, you might like this movie. If you're into, basically The Purge.
That's about it. I think you'll watch like people kill people.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I feel like, or like, if you're kind of into like girls like going out and like seeking revenge,
there are other films that do that better.
Yeah. You might be thinking of something else. So the next film that we are going to talk about is A Simple Favor, which is also in theaters, and A Simple Favor stars Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively. And Anna Kendrick's character's name is Stephanie, and she is a mom vlogger, and she is out to seek the truth after her friend Emily, played by Blake Lively, disappears. Also in this movie is Henry Golding, who plays Sean, Emily's husband. He was recently in Crazy Rich Asians. So if you're interested in him as an actor, you also will probably like this film. This film... definitely when I saw the posters, I just thought like, wow, Anna Kendrick, Blake Lively, like very glamorous. Mm-hmm. Like it had that type of appeal. And so I wasn't sure how I felt about it. I felt like it was just going to be like glitzy Hollywood. And then I was talking to a coworker and she's like, oh no, I've read the book. Because it's based off book. She's like, this book is crazy. It's like twisted, which I wasn't expecting. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess I have to go see it if crazy stuff's going to happen. And this movie delivered. There was some crazy stuff going on.
I can't picture Anna Kendrick as, you know, a mom type.
Right? Yeah. She still feels so young.
Yeah.
And you did all the Pitch Perfects.
Exactly.
Like, you were just in college.
And she's, like, just so funny and just out there, like, doing her own thing. She doesn't have time to worry about kids. It's just, like, her personality I have for her in my head. So, in her in a role like that, I'd just be like, really? But I like her expanding her range as an actor. So... that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah. I definitely felt that with Anna Kendrick, I consider her more of, like, a comedic actress.
Yeah.
So I was a little surprised when I was told it's, like, a thriller type of thing or, like, mystery. But in the movie, she plays, like, the dedicated mom vlogger. So definitely plays up that role, which I also wasn't expecting. But she played it pretty well, except I would say there were moments when I felt like she was sort of trying to go for funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like... I don't think anyone else is going for funny in this scene.
Especially with such a serious kind of feel.
And I was like, I don't think this works for that moment. And I also felt like Henry Golding basically, like, never went for humor in the same way that Anna Kendrick did, which was weird to me to see them in scenes sometimes. I'm like, I don't feel like he's making a joke at all. Or if he is making a joke, it's something that fits, like, kind of in the scene. Like, it's for another character in the scene.
Oh.
Whereas Anna Kendrick's humor was more, like, for the audience. If you know what I mean? Like, her jokes in Pitch Perfect are, like, for the audience. And I felt like in this movie, I was like, you're doing that, but it doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit in, like, this movie.
In the midst of a murder,
right?
You know, and you're making, like, it was like awkward humor. Like, I felt like she did awkward humor pretty well,
right?
Where she would kind of like babble or mumble and like feel uncomfortable around like Blake Lively's character. And yeah, I was like, Blake Lively's really not having it.
I like Blake Lively. She definitely plays the dramatic roles really well. She just has that, you know, serious, stuff's gonna go down face.
Yeah, no, she definitely, she was very good in this film. And of course, she is very fashionable.
Oh, yeah.
So that definitely came through. I was just like, the difference between her and Anna Kendrick, as just the way they dress, definitely gave a sense of like power or intimidation, I would say. Even just like height difference.
I was going to say the height difference, because Anna Kendrick is a small one.
Yeah. The height difference itself was just so much. So we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll come back and keep talking about A Simple Favor.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about A Simple Favor. So, as we've mentioned, there was definitely a height difference between Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick, which I felt contributed to, like, an intimidation factor. Because in the film, Blake Lively works for, I believe it's like a fashion perfume company. And she has this high-profile job. She works in the city. She dresses, like, amazing, like, pantsuit, like jumpsuit type of thing going on that I was like, man, she can really pull that off so
she
well.
Pull anything off.
She could. Oh, it was amazing. Just the fashion alone was great. And then Anna Kendrick, who plays more like the mom, she doesn't live in, she doesn't want to go into the city. She just hangs out at home and takes care of her kid.
Just a blend in kind of.
Yeah, like she has like cute like cat socks like going on, like which is way different than Blake Lively's character. So just that in and of itself set up the scene to be like, oh, Anna Kendrick says they're like in the beginning of the movie, she says like my best friend has gone missing, and I'm like, it's hard for me to believe that Blake Lively is your best friend,
right?
Like,
yeah,
you definitely are very different, it seems. But Anna Kendrick thinks that they're friends, and she also meets her husband Sean, again played by Henry Golding, and he's a writer, and Anna Kendrick like knows his book, like she's read it before. So that's, like, why like they have, like, some things to talk about and connect to. But this, the deeper you go into the story, the more every character becomes suspicious. Like, even Anna Kendrick's character, who is, like, the protagonist that you kind of know the most about and is sort of the least mysterious, I would say, you are watching this film and just start to think, like, why would you do that? Or, like, why would you act that way? Like, you're acting so awkward. Like, I know you don't have anything to hide, but you're making it sound like you do. And, like, some of the things that she does, I'm like, why would you do that? Like, this is a terrible choice when, like, Yeah.
Okay.
Or just like this part when she's like, I'm a like mom vlogger sharing recipes, and then it almost becomes like she's like the serial podcast, like talking about this murder, and she gets like a bunch of viewers because of it.
Okay.
Which is so weird.
That came up, that whole thing of like sort of using your tragedy to get viewers thing came up a bit in Searching, also a film we talked about on a previous episode, where you have people saying, you know, oh, I didn't know this girl at all when we're talking to her father, but then when the news is there, oh, she was my best friend. So it's like, seriously.
Yeah, I felt like that, and I watched it and I was like, does she mean it that way? I think she really does think that this character, what is her name, Emily, is her best friend. She really believes that. But
so she's really, she's really like, why does she?
Emily probably doesn't believe that though,
right? Why does she consider her best friend?
She doesn't really have any other friends.
My only friend.
So it's kind of like a lonely experience, and like they become friends because they both have kids at the same school.
So okay. Like, I was gonna ask, friends. Like, did they grow up together?
They become mom friends. Their kids go to the same school, and their kids want to have like a play date. Like, they have two sons.
Oh, okay.
And so she goes over to Blake Lively's house, and she like has this amazing like fashionable house, and they like drink martinis.
That's always fun.
Yeah. And they like become like friends because of that.
Okay.
And Blake Lively's character's just like, oh, just tell me your deepest, darkest secret. After like a few meetings, but even in the blog, she's like, I've only known her for a few weeks and she's my best friend. And I'm like, really?
No. Wow.
You're like,
that escalated quickly.
Right. It's like, I believe that you're not a bad person, but suddenly you're saying these things, I'm like, you're weird. Like,
yeah.
In this mysterious like tone of a movie.
Exactly.
It makes her more mysterious.
Or maybe she's just really stuck in the mommy sort of aspect, because kids would do that too. Like, hi, what's your name? You want to be best friends? Like,
this but as adults, though, that's just
but
weird.
If her whole life is being a mom, she would sort of, I don't know. I found, I had sort of a roller coaster of this film. I didn't want to see it at first because the trailer, I was like, I don't know what this is about. You made it sound sort of, okay, I get Blake Lively's glamorous and Anna Kendrick knows her and that's about it. And then I heard that Henry Golding was in it and I was like, oh, hey, you were in Crazy Rich Asians, so okay. And then I heard it was sort of a mystery. Henry Golding would be like, you know, sort of considered, oh, the husband did it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm back to not wanting to see this.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought too. Like, I didn't want to see it, but when my boss at work said, like, oh, you have to see it, this story is insane, I was like, well, I don't know if I even believe you.
Right.
So it's from the trailer, but okay. And there was definitely a moment where I was like, what? Like, how are we going to move on from this?
Oh, wow.
Like, how, like, what is the next scene even going to be? Like, I don't even know it's coming around the corner. So I definitely appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like they did that very well. And there was some good twists. And, yeah, if you just want to see Blake Lively in a great pantsuit. Plus, I feel like the mystery was believable. I also felt like watching it, there are moments where I'm like, this is very, like, novel-y. Like, yeah. it felt like it came from a novel. I could definitely tell.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you...
Did it drag on, or was the twist, like, enough to keep you interested?
It kept me interested. There was a moment when a twist happened, and I was like, what are you going to do after this?
Right.
Like, I don't understand, how can this movie keep going? But I'm like, there is a lot more. And that was the one moment that, like, took me out of the film, that I just was like, what? How are you even going to keep going? But that turned out to be a good twist, you know?
Oh, okay.
Because
so
it
all
on from
blended
there.
Well then afterwards. It wasn't just like, oh, you threw that in there for what?
Right.
It's not...
Yeah, there were a few other moments that I didn't read the book, so I don't know if this happened in the book, but moments of, like, sort of humor. Like, there's, like, a mommy group that is, like, they have, like, some humor related to that. Who, like, kind of make fun of Anna Kendrick's character for being, like,
well,
super
comedy,
involved.
Then.
Mom. Yeah, and there was, like, another moment that I'm not going to spoil, because there are so many twists, I feel like I can't say a lot.
Right.
But there was this, like, one moment that reminded me of Mean Girls in a way. That was weird, and I was like, I did not see that coming at all.
Wow.
So, that was good. But, yeah, I feel like if you want to see this movie to see, like, mystery, you definitely should. And it did make me think, like, oh, maybe I should read the book.
Right.
Like, how did they do it in the book? I felt that was good. Also, on another note that I want to mention, I was really, I don't know what the right word is, but when Henry Golding was in the film, like, he is an Asian man, and it was great because it wasn't a character where they needed an Asian man.
Right.
Like, Crazy Rich Asians, it was like, you know, they're all Asian, but, you know, his character could have been played by, like, any male. And I was just really glad. I was like, oh, perfect. This is a great role where it's not an Asian guy doing kung fu or being like a villain with like a mustache. You know, I was like, this is great. He's playing like just an average guy, like a dad. Granted, in a very not average situation. But I was like, this is really cool. And they've started played doing, the character well.
They've started doing that. I've started noticing that in commercials. Like, there's now the McDonald's dollar menu one where the wife finds a dollar on her couch and she's Caucasian and her husband's Asian. And it's like, we're not going to say anything. I was like, I love you.
Right.
I love you for that.
And I feel like just socially, like, it's not common. Like, I feel like there's definitely a stereotype against, like, an Asian male with, like, a white woman. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was so glad that they did that in this film.
Right. Or any mix in general.
Right.
I think it's awesome to just throw it out there.
But right. I think that's, especially for commercials, is advertisers realizing they have to live up to the times. And that is actually a number of families and growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was, it was in Time magazine had the cover where, like, the person of the future will be mixed race.
Oh, of course.
And I was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. So get with it, people. Let's go.
Yeah. So I was really happy to see that. And I just loved that. Also, that just like never, because in the movie, he's British. And so
he is.
Just, like,
I think Henry Golding is actually.
Well, yeah, he is.
Because so, he had an accent in Crazy Rich Asians
right,
as well.
And I know that's part of the book is that he's British. So I was like, oh, this is like perfect. Like, I'm so glad you guys went for him.
Right.
You know, I thought that was like a great choice. And he fit the role really well. And he played it really well.
And I think he fits Blake Lively well. Because I heard it was him, I was like, that couple would be like way more glamorous than anybody else together.
And it felt like that. Watching the movie, they were like a glamorous couple. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I don't know. Thumbs up for that. They definitely did that well.
I'm going to have to go watch it now.
Yeah. So I would definitely suggest it for that. And there were some good twists. It's more than just two beautiful women. It's got some good twists that I did not see coming and I enjoyed. So yeah, if you want to see The Purge again, you could see Assassination Nation. you know, or if you want to see a thriller, you could see A Simple Favor. So I suggest both. Depending on what you're into. So thank you for joining us on the GSMC Movie Podcast. We will talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.